Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draw nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with early achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, your heart will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. I will meet you in the morning, just inside Eastern Gate. Go be ready, faithful pilgrim, though you won't have long to wait. I will meet you, I will meet you, just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you, I will meet you, I will meet you in the morning over there. If you hasten
after glory,
linger near the Eastern Gate, for I'm coming in the morning, so you'll not have long to wait. I will meet you, I will meet you, just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you, I will meet you, I will meet you in the morning over there. Keep your limbs all trimmed and burning for the bright watched and awake. He'll be with us in the morning, just inside Eastern Gate. I will meet you just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you in the morning over there. Oh, the joy of that glad meeting with the saints before us wait.
He'll be with us at the meeting just inside Eastern Gate.
I will meet you just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you in the morning over there. Keep your limbs all trimmed and burning, for the bridegroom watched and awake. He'll be with us in the morning, just inside Eastern Gate. I will meet you just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you in the morning over there. I will meet you just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you in the morning over there.
Somewhere when that happens.
When that rapture happens somewhere, planet Earth, it'll be morning, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bible says, grinding at the mill, you know. You're grinding at the mill in the morning, you know, 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere it'll be midnight when two people are sleeping in the bed. And some people, somewhere it'll be about 5 o'clock in the afternoon and the evening when people are out in the garden hoeing, mm-hmm. you know. And that's just the rapture, that's what this. I will meet you in the morning. Yeah, somewhere it'll be morning. It might be morning here, but it can't be morning here and in Russia too. It'll be whatever the time. And it'll have, it's a universal setting, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this morning thing is all about. It's not going to be morning everywhere when this thing happens. It's all about the being ready for that time, you know. Keep your limbs on trend and burning. To us, to you and I, it's so real. Like
it's not just words anymore. It's reality. That's what we're all about.
Until you know that loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and picks him up above the plain where he is strong. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, you know nothing until you know the love of God. Until you know that loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and picks him up above the plain where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, you know nothing until you know the love of God. Until you know the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and picks him up above the plain where he is trod. Until you know just how
how it feels to know that God is really real. You know nothing until you know the love of God.
How can you know the love of God when people don't even realize that they're a sinner? You know?
Yeah, religion will never do it.
That's when you realize the love of God. When you realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and God provided a way.
When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When the reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me,
when the Savior
reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son.
When He reached down His hand for me.
I just want to take time out, thank the Lord for what He did back in the day, bringing you on board. You know, I was thinking, where would I be without you? I mean, the family pretty well disowned me, and I remember exactly where it happened. We were driving down to Mississippi. On that interstate going east, and the thought came to me. It didn't really come, but I was starting to think, what are people going to say and think and do when they find out we're trucking together? And before I could let that thought bear root, see what the devil was trying to do, he was trying to intimidate me. What are people going to do and say? What are your family going to say? What will my family say when they find out we're trucking together? And the Lord showed up, and He spoke to my spirit. You know very well what they're going to say. But without Lorraine, there is no program. You'd be sitting by yourself, and I would be sitting by myself, and we wouldn't be able to get no footing and nothing. And believe you me, my family already had his on me, and the same with your family. If they can't mold you into their thing, then you're nothing. But somehow the Lord saw fit to bring us together. At least we got each other now. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the devil was scared of. If we ever get going together, you and me, the sky will be the limit. Mm-hmm. But by myself, I couldn't do nothing. This thing would be undone, what we're doing here every day. But the Lord put us on this journey, and He put it together, and how I just thank the Lord for it, because think about it. Where would you be, and where would I be?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have nobody, because nobody, I couldn't find nobody that would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was, all my life, I was kind of alone, but, you know, especially then. When the Lord brought us together, everybody, their mind went right into the gutter and think this is a sex debate. People only know what we think about sex. Sex is not of God. Sex for pleasure is introduced by Satan and the garden when he deceived Eve to have an intimate relationship with that serpent guy. And that, if people only knew how you and I abhor every idea, every thought of sex, that's what the devil used to deceive mankind, to bring mankind into the position. He went and talked to that serpent, put it in that serpent's head and his mind, and his whole makeup was enticed with having an intimate relationship with Eve. And finally, the devil got that serpent so worked up that he knew exactly. He was sly, he was cunning, he was smart, he was the highest form of animal life, he was of the animal kingdom, but he had the makeup to have an intimate relationship with Eve, and that's what the devil was after, to work in his mind to pollute and pervert that intimate relationship that Adam and Eve were supposed to have. They were given the commission to be fruitful and multiply, but in order to be fruitful and multiply, you got to do it out of the tree of life. You cannot do it out of the sex for pleasure, and the tree of life was sex for reproduction purposes only. I read that thing growing up, and I didn't know exactly what it means. Somebody told me it's an apple. They were not supposed to partake of that apple tree. It's garbage. It's not true. How can an apple cause all the chaos in the world? It was the Satan got into the devil's head and to his mind and to his whole makeup, and he seduced Eve to have an intimate relationship, and it introduced to the human race sex for pleasure only. That's exactly what happened. And like I say, when they saw us together, their mind goes right into the gutter. Even my own daughter, she had a dream. The devil, they don't know that the devil can give you dreams too. He can entice you with a dream that it looks so real, just like Eve back there. She was so enticed and so convinced that that's the right way to go, because it says she was seduced. I just read it this morning, how Satan beguiled her and seduced her in having this intimate relationship. And therefore they brought the whole human race into chaos, into the mess that we have out there today. And then when they see us together, like I say, their mind goes straight in the gutter, and they think this is a sexcapade. Who's interested in that garbage? Why would we be interested in that garbage? I'd be back in a compound. I just threw that in here because it's something that I thought about the last few days. Our people, they think that this is a sexcapade, and that's what we're about. Well, that's the last thing on our mind. There's no future in that. Mm-hmm. Nothing in that. We know who the originator was for sex for pleasure. You can only have sex in the confines of marriage. Well, we're not married. You're my niece. You're my cousin, whichever. Your dad is my cousin, and you're my cousin once removed. And you're 30 years younger than I. We're not interested in that garbage. We're interested in the things that pertain to eternity, that pertain to eternal life. That's all what our mission is. I just thought I'd throw that on it because I was overcome with gratitude. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Look on the other side where we would be without each other, because I won't find nobody that agrees with me. Mm-hmm. My whole family won't agree with me. They never did. I asked my daughter one thing. So what do you think of me? Oh, I think you're crazy. Well, that's just their take, you know, because the Bible says, those of your own household, once you become a Christian, once you walk with the Lord, then of course they'll think you're crazy, mm-hmm. because the natural man cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. It has to be spiritually discerned. Right. I think a lot about Enoch. I kind of can identify with Enoch a lot because he was out there all by himself. There was nobody mm-hmm. to agree with him. And he walked with God, and he was not. And all of a sudden he was taken, you know.
Yeah.
Not even his family was with him. Mm-hmm. So, it's just thought I throw that then. Where you and I are at, we're about the Lord's business. We're about a spiritual journey. This is a spiritual relationship. You're a sister in the Lord, and I'm your brother, and we got each other's back. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for having each other's back, we'd be out here by ourselves, and we'd be, the dogs would be after mm-hmm. us, you know?
Exactly. God, it says where two or three are gathered, you know, by yourself, you're really an open vessel for the devil to attack you.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have somebody to help you walk along this journey, it is a lot easier.
Amen to that. Heavenly Father, just want to stop for a moment in time just to give you thanks for this another day of life and the many things you do for us, Lord. Also, oh Lord, that you've opened up your word to us. You've given a crystal clear understanding where we are in time and how your word works and all these things that's written in your word. We finally come face to face with reality. We see right exactly what you meant when you told us about the end time and all these things. And you've given us your word through the ministry of that of prophetic and an apostolic ministry. To the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. We've given us a commission just to hold on to the things that we've been taught. And you've given us a commission to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, to expose that hard-right spiritual, what is it, the forces of evil that are driving it behind the scene. Behind it is that spirit of Satan. And we just, you've given us the understanding, and then you've given us the commission to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, what operates behind us, behind these religious systems. And then you've given us, like I say, you've given us a commission to do all these things. And we're grateful for it, Lord. We just pray we'll just continue to do it as you see fit, Lord. Use us for your honor, for your glory, Lord, and if that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we have a lot. We always have a lot to talk about. And we know the things we talk about, as time goes on, you're going to see they're going to be exactly 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying about Jeremiah, he had a tough road to hold. Jeremiah mm-hmm. did. I was reading. He was complaining one time. Lord, I've been talking in your name all these years, and nothing has happened. I'm becoming the laughing stock of the county. And the Lord told him, came back and told him, Jeremiah, you just keep saying the things I put in your mouth, because eventually they will happen. I don't know, you had something about, I don't know where you read it, but he had a tough road to hold, Jeremiah.
He preached, you go back to 700 B.C., 600 B.C., that was the era of Jeremiah, and he preached the destruction of Jerusalem, and things of that nature, because of Judah forsaking the ways of God, and going in an evil direction. And you can read how many kings towards the end were evil kings, and they led Judah astray. So eventually God would not return from his wrath. His mm-hmm. mind was made up, and there comes a point in time where when people go a certain direction, that God's mind is made up. That's what he's going to do. And that came a point in time in the kings of Judah, because of their evil ways, that God's anger was not going to be changed because of what they had done. And they went into exile. And Jeremiah prophesied all that. And they eventually go into exile, into Babylon and into captivity. And they were there for 70 years. And you can see that the role of Jeremiah was completed. He did what he was called to do. He preached for many years for that day, and finally it did come. And then when you will look at after the 70 years, and when Nehemiah went to build up the walls, that was all pointing now to the coming of the Messiah. A countdown was happening to the coming of Messiah. And you can read it in the Bible, how Nehemiah went out, and the countdown began. And at 33, they rejected Jesus, and they were cut off. And the Gentiles were grafted in until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's the 2,000 years of the Grace Age. And you can see here in the Grace Age, the same concept happened in the Laodicea church hour. God sent a prophet. And God sent the prophet to turn us back to the Word of God. And what did America do in the churches? They rejected the prophet. And then God had to, America went into a direction that you see the results of it today. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad place, but in the, when God was going to be done, just like Israel, when God's going to be done with Israel, it's going to be a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. That's the same way with America, but they will have to go through their wars and through their great peril that George Washington saw. And then you can see how when Brother Jackson left the scene, how these preachers, all God was requiring from them, from Boyd, from Tim Relaford, from these people, was to stand on the things that we have been taught. Mm-hmm. Stand on the Word of God. But they couldn't do that. They compromised. And therefore, the devil just took over. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important, no matter what the price, is to stand on the truth and the Word of God. And in the end, God will make a way for you. Just like He did with us. We had to fight through this. We didn't come here by chance. This didn't happen by chance that me and you, that God put us together. God put us together because we are both fighting for the truth and to stand on the truth and the things that we have been taught by these two men, by Brother Brennan and Brother Jackson. And that's the result of that God bringing us together so that we would have someone in the fight that sees the same, believes the same, and has the same desires uphold the Word of God and keep a line on the truth of what has been given to us in this Laodicea church age. And that's all we've been doing. And you can see the results of when people don't do that. You saw what happened to Bud. You saw what happened to Boyd. And to people like that, and to Tim Relaford, he's out in no man's land. He can go up and preach and stuff like that, but he is totally, he's nowhere. Spiritually speaking, he is nowhere.
Amen to that. And like you were saying about Jeremiah, we're going through the same thing Jeremiah went through. The things that we teach, they're so unaccepted, you know. Nobody accepts it because they've been brainwashed with this commune type living in all these traditions and all that religiology out there, that when we come along, we tell people the truth, we tell people that God sent the prophet, we tell people that God sent the chief apostle to keep a line on the word, and we just, that He has honed us out to do exactly what you're saying, to keep a line on the word of God, the things that we have been taught because the Lord spoke to us. He spoke right into your spirit when you asked Him, why did He do this to us? Why did He put us together? And He told you right by your into your spirit to keep a line on the truth that has been given to the church in the Laodicea. If it wasn't for you and me, there would be absolutely no sign of Brother Branham and Brother Jack, because you can't hear his name anywhere. I've listed John Hagee, not one word about the God sending a prophet. And now when these Branhamites and all these people, they're Branhamites who preach Brother Branham till you're blue in the face. But they will never tell you about the next thing. They'll never tell you about Brother Jackson because it has not been given to them. It has been given to you and I to hold a line on the truth, what these two great anointings brought and the church here to lead us. Without these two men and the church here to lead us here in the 1900s, without that, there is absolutely no use to even be living. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't for these two men, Laodicea will come and go, and nobody even know that Laodicea came and went.
That's right.
And things would just drift into oblivion, and everybody would just drift out to hell and death. But see, He's given us the understanding, then He gave us the commission to hold on to the things that we have been taught, and we gladly do it because we're not worried about being persecuted. We're not worried about being shunned and all that stuff. They can throw at us whatever they want. And the devil knew that. So he, early on in the stages, he tried his level best to see if he can't get his foot in the door. And he used your family and he used my family. And, oh man, the things that they accuse us of, it's sickening to even think about it. And, we honed out for that. Yeah. The Lord knew our makeup. He knew we would never buckle because He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mm-hmm. He knows the more pressure they put on us, the more we'll fire, you know, like that, like a boiler. You know, I was working back in the colony. I put in this boiler, and we got this furnace, a high pressure boiler, and then see, the more pressure you put on that boiler, the more it performs. You got, mm-hmm. you know, when you, let's say when you do oil, you know, and mm-hmm. the gripe and all that stuff, and then we got the high pressure boiler that you could put it up to 60 pounds. With the old boiler, you can only put it up to 15 pounds, and you couldn't really get that kettle hot enough to make lard, you know. Then we got a new boiler, and you could put that thing up to 60 pounds pressure, and that would be able to melt that fat, you know, when you mm-hmm. throw it in. And see, that's the way you and I operate. The more pressure you put on, the more we perform, you know. Like I say, the devil, he throws everything at us he can. If they could, the law of the land would allow it, they would have killed us 10 times over already. But mm-hmm. see, the law of the land doesn't allow, because they put all the pressure on you. Just remember, just imagine a young family, and here they come in like they have every right, thinking they're doing God a service by telling me you don't have a family, you got no children, you got nothing, and think you're doing God a service. That's the system that we came out of, that Hutterite thing. Mm-hmm. That Hutterite thing is even worse than the Catholic Church has ever taught of, because it's so subtle, it looks so good, it looks so real, but it's 10 times worse than the Dark Ages ever taught to be. And you know what happened in the Dark Ages, how they terrorized Christians and stretched them and put them through all their torture chambers to do whatever they can. But this year's 10 times worse, because it's a lot more subtle, and you can't get your foot under it. We're mm-hmm. trying to expose that thing forever and a day, and the more we try to expose, the more we're being shunned. But that's okay. That's all part of the program.
That's
we're
right.
not complaining one
you
bit.
You know, that, we have one commission, like it says in the scripture, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that's what we're doing, you know. We're not obligated to... we're not called to compromise with people and their religions and their ideologies. Like, there are so many people that they want to pull you into their church system, into their religions, into their... But God has taken us out of that. We're far beyond that. And He has given us a faith, the faith of the early church, through the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson. And that's, we have something to contend for.
Amen.
We have something to strive for. We have something to hold on to. And we don't need to compromise with these doctrines of devils out there. And that's what they are. They have evolved into doctrines of devils, because they have really forsaken Jesus Christ. They have rejected his prophet and the chief apostle and what God had in this church age, and they have decided they're going to create their own little thing. And that's, God is not behind that. We have something to contend for, and that is our life. Like, there's a lot of people that want to communicate and do this and that, and I said, well, I have nothing to talk to you on. Like, I could talk about the weather and about the news, but that would run out very fast, because this is our life. This is our livelihood, what God has done in this age, and that's our whole purpose of living. And when people come along and they just reject what we have to say, well, we have nothing in common with these people, and why should we bother? Because Satan is only going to use them to try to destroy us, and that's really what ends up happening. And that's why we have to keep a close watch on who we associate with, because right away the devil is there and has an objective.
Yeah, like we're saying, yeah, I'm talking to this girl, and all of her, she's doing the same old Satan's trick, trying to come in and divide us. She called you, you want to go do this, that, and the other? Well, I told her right out of the get-go, when we tried to befriend her, and I told her, right, you and I, we're doing everything together. You're not going anywhere without me, and I'm not going anywhere without you. That's just the way the Lord set this thing up. So if you want to get your foot in the door, you'll have to come on board, and you have to believe what we believe, or you have to see what we see. And we give her some tapes, and we realize she's not even interested. We give her the message of Brother Branham, the life story of Brother Branham, and we found out she hadn't even as much as listed. Then we tried to befriend your aunt down there, and we give her the message of Brother Branham, his Brother Branham's life story. And then after a month, you call her back, and she hasn't even listed. She's mm-hmm. not interested. They're not interested. And the things that interest you and I, mm-hmm. and that's... just that simple. That's why we're by ourselves, and we're trying to put something out there. Somewhere up the road, this thing is going to bear fruit, just like it did with Jeremiah. Somewhere up the road, this thing is going to be the only thing that's worth listening to. Just like I say, just with Jeremiah, he was out there preaching and beating his gum together, doing all kinds of things, trying to wake up a people, he even lamented. You can go back and read the Lamentation of Jeremiah, what that poor guy went through. He was an ordinary person like you and me, but man, did he ever terrorize and persecute him, threw him down a well, and everything that he had to go through. And I can identify with Jeremiah, because the same thing happened to him, happens to us. We've been speaking here for forever and a day, for 15, 20 years, and not one bleep. I told these Hutterite preachers, I was in the council with them time and time and time again. I told them about God sending a prophet. I told them about baptism in Jesus' name, how that Satan has infiltrated the baptism mode, and the Nicaea Rome, he infiltrated baptism and put on his own counterfeit baptism. Mm-hmm. I told them all about that. And we don't have to listen to you. I said, well, at least let's look at it. When you build a kitchen, you go all over Alberta and Saskatchewan to look at the best of the best. And here, things that has eternal destiny, that pertains to eternal life, you won't even look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've done my part on them, and then bit one by one, they're not around anymore. There's only one or two that's still around that I talked to at that meeting there. Time and time again, I was in there. And the Sanhedrin Council, mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's there, Sanhedrin Council, mm-hmm. just as Jesus was mm-hmm. at the Sanhedrin Council, just as Paul was under the mm-hmm. Sanhedrin Council, Jim was I right there, right in the lion's den,
mm-hmm.
telling them exactly what happened in the church of Laodicea, that God sent a prophet. They wouldn't even listen to it. They wouldn't even take time out to go and look at it. They would rather go into your home and tear everything apart, take you away from your family, take your children away from you. But see, that's all part of the program. I'm not complaining, because in it all, God's going to look after things. At the end of the day is what matters. Mm-hmm. We just live it towards the end of the day, that we have done our part. We have done everything that we know to do to try to wake him up. And it's going to happen exactly as we're saved. Just 3 years from now, Jesus comes down and he takes over the kingdoms of this world. And just up the road here, there's going to be a rapture. I don't know when. Just up the road here, everything is going to happen exactly like you and I say it's going to happen. Just up the road here, there's going to be a civil war. Anybody that looks around and opens his eyes, they can see how that civil war in America is ready to take over. And it's just exactly what God told George Washington. That angel came down with a script, and he told George Washington exactly what's going on with that war of independence. That angel told, we're setting up a nation built on godly principles. And we're setting it up, and he told them exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be three wars coming over America. That was the War of Independence, and then there was the Civil War to end slavery, and the one right here coming up, it's going to be worse than all these two combined, because he told that angel told George Washington, there is going to be more bloodshed, and that third woe mm-hmm. than in all these other woes and other woes combined.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's happening now, and it's exactly the way it's in that bad omen. It's these countries from the east coming in and trying to take over and try to destroy America. Mm-hmm. That's what you see going on in the university. That's why you saw this young man, that Charlie Kirk, getting assassinated, because he was pushing back the forces of darkness that were trying to invade America and destroy America from within. Through the colleges mm-hmm. and through the young people and through these marches. Marching, imagine going out there marching to support a terrorist organization. And Charlie Kirk, he was holding back these forces. He was a powerful voice and he, trying to stop these invaders from coming in. And it's going to end up with bloodshed. It's going to be exactly what we're seeing. It's going to be exactly the way the George Washington saw it because he got it from heaven.
That's right.
He didn't think it up.
And you can see how divided America is. Like half of America is celebrating because he was assassinated and half of it is mourning. You can see how much divided it is and what needs to be done to get that cleaned up. There is no other solution. Nobody wants war, but you know, the Bible talks, there is a season for everything. There's a time and a place for everything. And just like in the Old Testament, whenever God wanted to clean something up, there was war. He says God is a God of war in Exodus. And you can see that throughout the Bible that when these all these nations, these wicked nations with their all their idolatry, when they came into the land of Canaan, God wanted them to wipe them out because they were ungodly people. And there was no way you could change their ungodliness. Mm-hmm. And that's the same way with here. These people are unredeemable. It's sad to say. Like people will say, you should be more kind. Give people a chance. Well, they had many chances. And the hour is here where that is, it's unreversible, the damage that has been done. In the same way with Israel, like they're surrounded with enemies. Do you think be talking nice to them, it has helped? You look at Lebanon, what they went through with they let these enemies in and eventually they ended up killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to leave their own country to find safety. See, that's what the enemy does. Don't be fooled with nice talking. The nice talking is something when you go, your red flag should go up. There is a time where things need to be cleaned up, and that's the hour we're living now in. It needs to be cleaned up in America. It needs to be cleaned up over in Europe, and it's just going to happen.
Amen to that. When we say things here now, see, the fact of the matter is, we know where we are in time.
Mm-hmm.
We know by the scriptures that we're in the closing days of time. We only have so and so many more days. We only have about 3 more years till God, Jesus sets up his kingdom and then that 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we're telling people what's going on out there right now. All these people, you can go on social media and you can tell exactly who side this person is on.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the one that's rejoicing over the death of Charlie Kirk? And who is supporting the Hamas people? Who is lamenting over what's going on in the land?
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing, and they don't even know it, because you and I, we're the only two people that'll tell people where we are at time. And what they're really doing, just 3 years from now or less, they're going to pave their way right into that lake of fire simply because of the decision that they're doing right now. There's no more retreat. There's no more the opportunity to try to rehabilitate, whatever that word is, rejuvenate these people, because it's done. They've made up their mind, and now it's going into war. Now it's going into that separation war. Yeah, it talks about the separation of the sheep and the goat. That's the final destiny over in Matthew 24 when God comes down and he separates the goats from the sheep. It's happening right now. People are making a decision right now for the next 3 years which side they're going to be on when Jesus comes down and does the final thing. It's happening right now. It's happening when the Lord allowed that young man to get assassinated, and he's testing people, where are you going to spend eternity?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's such raw stuff that they put on social media, how vicious they can be. What they're doing, they're buying themselves a ticket right into that lake of fire. That's what they're doing. And then here's the other people, they're mourning, and they're buying themselves a ticket into that heavenly abode, into that kingdom that's prepared for for them before the foundation of the world. And it's just that simple, because you and I, we say these things and think we're crazy. But the only reason we can say these things, through the ministry of that apostolic and that prophetic ministry, and then we're holding on to the truth, and then the Lord, rich in mercy, gave us exactly the midnight cry, exactly where we are at that, right down to the day. And in fact, anybody can do it. Just take October the 15th, 2021, and you count 7 years. And once the 7 years are done, Jesus comes down and he puts a chain on Satan and he throws him into hell. And right after that, the day of the Lord kicks in. For 30 days, there'll be this planet, like we keep saying over and over again, the planet will reel to and fro like a drunk man. That's what you see just right up ahead of us here. And we're just putting it out there because we see the script. God, rich in mercy, has saw our makeup. He knew we would never compromise. He knew we would never cave. He knew that the more pressure they put on us, the more we'll fire, the more power we'll have. And that's the devil knew that. And that's why he keeps harassing us. And as soon as he gets his foot in the door, as soon as we communicate with somebody, guess what they do? They see if they can't slander us. They see if they can't make us look like whatever. But see, we know our makeup. God knows our makeup. He knew that we'll never buckle. He knew that we'll never bow. He knew what he put in us before the foundation of the world. He knew we're going to stay the course. And once he opened up to the revelation that God sent the prophet, there is nothing, there is no devil in hell that could stop us. And then then the Lord brought us together, and how the two of us, you know what the Bible says about when one walks alone, it's not good, but when two walk together, then one is there to help each other up. But that's exactly what the Lord did, and now it's coming all into fruition. That's exactly what the Lord put us together to do, this thing here every day, to put the message out for people that somewhere up the road there's going to be a hunger and a thirst for the things of reality, for the things of truth. That thing out there they call church, the John Hagee's of this world, they'll never tell people the truth. They'll never tell people what happened in the church age of Laodicea. They'll never tell you that God sent the prophet, and even the Brennanite, they'll never tell you nothing about Brother Jackson, because without Brother Jackson, the ministry of Brother Brennan was incomplete, because he said so many things that Brother Jackson had to come along and clean up these dual statements. It's all about separation and things like that. And you and I, we're the only two people that know exactly, right to the T, what happened. And the church age of Laodicea. Right. And then now he called us out, like we keep saying over and over again, he's called us out to hold a line on this truth. That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's all we got to do. We're contending for the faith that has once been delivered to the saints. And we kind of get, after a while, you kind of get to enjoy it. You kind of don't mind being persecuted and shunned and all that stuff, because it's become a way of life, you know, because we're thinking about the joy, the glory that was set before us, like Jesus, when he was in the garden praying, and he saw the glory that was set before, and that gave him momentum, that gave him power to gladly go to the cross. And then we're doing the same thing. We know what's up the road here. We know there's coming a day when God will come down, and he'll separate all that stuff, and he'll bring it to light, everything that we've talked about, everything that we're fighting for, will someday come to fruition. Right now, it doesn't look like it, but we don't care. We're just doing our daily job. We're just doing whatever the Lord puts on our hearts to do, and we do it gladly. But then it's all about crucifying the flesh. Do everything you can to mortify the natural man, because the natural man does not want this chapter. He doesn't want to have nothing to do with us, because the natural man thinks naturally. He wants, especially in the closing days of time, seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, and men loving pleasure more than God, and all these things that we're surrounded with all that evil. That's why you and I, we have to put in 24/7 to see how much we can mortify the natural man and the flesh. Because if you give the flesh the green light, he'll just take over and he'll kill that spiritual man. But that's the fight that we're into. You want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for everything you've done for us, Lord, for everything you've given to us in this hour that we're living in, Lord. We have something to contend for, Lord. You've restored the faith of the early church, Lord, and we're so grateful, Lord, that you have allowed us to see the picture and prepare us for the hour and the time we're living in, Lord, so that we can be clothed and have eyes to see, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we can paint a picture in the hearts of people, Lord, to help them understand, Lord, what you've been doing and your great ways, Lord. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.